Very good. So, did you enjoy King's Kids this morning? You'll all have to come and join us. We have an awesome team. Lots of mums and a couple of dads come and join us and help out and help raise our kids after the heart of God. Today, we're talking about being the bride, what it is to be a wife, a mother, a bride. For me, the grounding is the fact that God gave women to our husbands to be his helpmate. I might have to leave you do it, James. Can we go back to first slide after, yeah, thank you. So, God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet, a helpmate. The Hebrew, Ezer, I think is how you might pronounce that, translates as helpmeet, helper, or helpmate, which is my preference. So that's my role. And our role as women. The other important verse is Proverbs 1:7. I can't be who God's calling me to be unless I honour him first. The reverent fear of the Lord, that is, worshipping him and regarding him as truly awesome, is the beginning and the preeminent part of knowledge. Its starting point and its essence. So that takes us to Proverbs 31:30, reflected as the woman of God. Now, all of our brightly coloured letters make up several of the attributes that we can see reflected in Proverbs 31. So trustworthy. Her heart is for her husband. Mostly my heart is for my husband, but sometimes I fail. And my dear Pete will testify to that. He'll often ask me to do him a little job during the week. And sadly, I often forget or I fail. Just a week or so ago, he said, can you just pick something up for me at the shop? Sure, honey, I'm all over it. And I was. I dropped off the information to the shop and then I moved on with the rest of my day, the rest of my week, until he said, did you pick up that thing? I dropped it in. They know that it's there waiting for you. So he picked it up himself. So if you're ever praying for me, that would be an awesome blessing. That I don't get distracted and move on with something before I'm actually finished with the first thing. She comforts and encourages her husband. She's trustworthy because she clothes herself in strength and dignity. And her position is strong and secure. Our blue letters, she is diligent. Now, in our day and age, we don't necessarily go out looking for flax and wool so that we can turn it into yarn to create that awesome jumper like Leslie wears. But some of us do. Some of us still do. But in 21st century Australia, most of us go and buy it ready-made. Or if we do still like to create it, we'll go and buy the yarn to create it or to stitch it. So when Proverbs was written, when Proverbs 31 was written, women did a lot of it from scratch, but we didn't only do it from scratch. We went out to work as well. This woman, when I first read many years ago Proverbs 31, I thought, I can never be this woman. She cooks, she cleans, she goes out to work, she looks after her kids. How does that happen? I can't do it. I had two small children at the time and I thought, how can that happen? And then I read, she had help. She didn't do it all by herself. And we have help today too. We don't necessarily have servants, but we can employ a cleaner. Some of us are blessed enough to have somebody who says, I just want to bless you and I'm going to come clean your house. She works, but the point is, whatever she turns her hand to, she does it diligently. She's always prepared. Even to the point where at night she trims the lamps so that they won't go out. Now, again, not an image that we're quite so familiar with, but I pay the electricity bill, so the lamps don't go out. And actually, Pete does that. But I could see him saying that to somebody down the back. But when I read that, it reminded me too of Matthew 25, 1 to 10. The virgins are waiting, their lamps are trimmed, and they're waiting for their husband to come and collect them. Keep that in mind for later. I'm not going to go through all the scriptures. I'm encouraging you to read Proverbs 31 again when you go home or sometime during the week and pick out, see what God says to you. She's shrewd. She's actually really prudent with her time, her resources. She considers her purchases carefully before she makes them. She spends time with God so that her heart can be pure, her life can be more ordered. She doesn't forget to go and do the tasks that her husband asked her to do. She's generous with her time. She's generous with her time. Sorry, James. And she shares whatever knowledge and skill and resources that she has. And she guards her tongue. Something she can't do without honouring God, without spending time daily with God. She might catch a few moments. She might not have, in any given day, a whole hour, a whole 2 hours to spend with God. Ah, oh, it's Del One.
I'm here.
But in the moments in her day, she spends time with God.
Morning, all. Thank you. That's great. Thank you for showing us what that's all about. I'm going to just get you to pop up. My husband, who's the biology teacher, tells me that you've got 20 minutes of good self-attention if you do some exercise. So I want you all to get up, even out in the... We're going to do a little bit of exercise. So if you can't, if you've got balance issues, now's not the time to work. So what I'd like you to do is start just walking on the spot for a minute. And then I want you to start actually reaching up. Now I want you just to do a little bit of bend. Okay, you're a bit limber now. You can sit down, because now we're going to look at Proverbs 31 from this angle. Proverbs 31 actually is a word of advice to a king. We actually don't cover verses 1 to 9 in sermons usually. Won't go into that right now, but there's a point to have a look and a read and see just what Proverbs 31 is all about. But, no, you're right, thank you. If we actually consider the church is the bride of Christ, It's mentioned in Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 and 7. And it says, I hear that it seems to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of a mighty peals of thunder crying out, Hallelujah, for our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt him and give glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to be to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. It then goes on to Revelation 20, verse 2, and it says, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride for her husband. And then on to verse 9, where it says, Then came the seven angels who had the seven bowls of the seven plagues and spoke to me, saying, Come, I'll show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. It is really then interesting as you go through, that's Revelation, and that's pretty flowery words, and some people might challenge you as to whether that requires us to think about the church as being the bride of the Lamb. But in my study, I went looking at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23, which we all pull out in weddings and everything, and it is known as the Bible, the wedding chapters, the wedding verse, where it says, Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body and himself its saviour. Now as the church submits to Christ, also wives should submit to in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he may be sanctified, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. The same way husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherished it, just as Christ does the church. Because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to the wife, and the two shall be one flesh. The mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to the Christ and the church. However, let each of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. As I read through that passage, it dawned on me that you can see through that passage, not only does it talk about men and women and their relationship, but it also talks about Christ and his relationship with the church. It does go over three pages, but on the screen, but I've had them highlighted to show you that there are links. There is a love story written from Christ to the church. Just as Christ is the head of the church, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. He has given us a representation of who he is and his relationship with the church as an example of a husband and a wife relationship. And if we want to look at those words that Lindell just brought out, in Proverbs it does tell us to be trustworthy as wives. So what about the church? How does the church then react to Proverbs to be trustworthy? Are we asked as a church to be trustworthy? Well, in Matthew it does say, Matthew 5:16, in the same way let your light shine before men that they may know your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. He's asked us as a church to behave, to be good, to be pointing our others around us to who God is. He's called us to be not hidden, but to reflect his love. He's asked us also in 1 Timothy 3 to be of noble character. And then we've also had just recently all of the core values that we've been talking about for the membership. So I just had a look, and up there's a few little comments of those areas that we have in the core values. I've linked them. I don't know whether it covers it or not properly, but that's just my idea, that maybe in our core values, this sort of thing refers to whether we worship, whether we're in enthusiastic service, disciplined growth, or authentic love. It'd be interesting to talk about that and just to see whether you think those areas in our church relate to Proverbs 31. I've also then looked at diligent, and what does diligence mean? In Hebrews 12:1-3, it says, "Since therefore we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that is so easily entangles us, and let us run with the perseverance the race that is marked before us. Let us fix our eyes on our author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endures the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him that you will not grow weary and lose heart." We as a church have been asked to run a race, to be diligent, to be prepared, to be out there and known and in the world. Colossians 1:10 also says, "So as we walk in the manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work." Again, we are called as a church to be pleasing and an example to the world, to be diligent and upright, to be making ready, not giving up, to be strong and to push through. And again, just a few core values there that I think linked into that is shown in our authentic love, our enthusiastic service, our disciplined growth and sacrificial mission. Shrewd and prudent also was part of that, wasn't it?
It was.
And we need to be shrewd and prudent. It's a bit hard, this one. I thought prudent, diligent, they could be together. They could be linked.
I thought that too.
And they're a bit hard to separate. But anyway, I went with Luke with that one. Luke 14:12-14. He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you gave dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbours, lest they invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection." I looked at shrewd and prudent as also being available to other people to see the needs that are around us. Not expecting to be repaid, but doing stuff out of our kind hearts, out of God's love, out of our Christianness, and showing Christ to other people around us. In Proverbs, the woman is strong, considered, and invested prudently. She actually made sashes for her workmates, for the girls who ran the stalls for her, for though she prepared meals for the household before she got up, and she made sure that her workers were fed. She invested into those people who could not repay her. But she did it anyway. And again, our core values, I thought, were generous, outrageous generosity, sacrificial mission, extravagant grace, unity, diversity, and authentic love. The next one was generous, which again linked into all of what I've said ahead, but it's in Acts, we were talking about the Acts church and how they selected. Stephen was one of the group of seven who actually went ahead and looked after the widows and the orphans. And so I've got that on the little slide as well. And again in Acts 6, "Now in these days the disciples were increasing in number, and complaint the Hellenists arose and the Hebrews against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected." This is the passage of how they chose them and made sure that their widows were looked after. Hospitality actually started as Christians making sure that people who needed help were seen to. Hospitals started because Christians invited those who were weak and poor into their homes and helped them. Christ has stood up and filled the gap. The church has stood up and filled the gap in many, many years. They were able to fill the gap before the world was able to recognise there was a need. And again, we have our core values link into that as well. The last one was guards her tongue. In Colossians, it does ask us to let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer a person. That's where Esther talks about having your antenna up, making sure that you are aware and knowing people if they need help or how to answer them when they ask the question. In John 13, love one another. If you love each other, everyone will know that you are my disciples. The note that I actually was reading a devotional on this, it's called Generation 31, and the last two comments I've got on the slide there are the two comments that I found out of this devotion that I thought was actually quite relevant. A kind church is a church that breaks down walls. And the world is waiting for a church that lives with a consistent, truth-bearing love, a love that lasts beyond her beauty or her charm. I do believe that a church, Christ's bride, can take some direction from Proverbs 31 as a church, and that it's not just for women, not just a guide, but we can all take some information on that. So I want to thank you for coming and acting and helping us find words that we can have another look and a different look at the way Proverbs 31 can run.